In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Our text today is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. St. Mark writes, "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.'" On that day, well, that day was the day that Jesus had cast out a demon, been accused of casting out that demon by the power of demons, defended himself against the enemies, proclaimed that he has come to bind the strong man, to bind Satan and plunder his house. And as if that were not enough, Jesus later in the day finds himself on a boat pressed against the sea by the crowds of people. The boat backs up, and he uses the bow of the boat as a makeshift pulpit from which to preach. And there he preaches the sermon of the sower and the various kinds of soil, the sermon of the seed that grows, though we know not how, and the sermon of the mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds that grows to the largest of all the plants. All of which illustrates, in one way or another, that the kingdom of heaven is not as we might think. That God is not like us. We have Holy Trinity Sunday. We have Good Shepherd Sunday. Perhaps today we should call God is not like us Sunday, because that's really the point of all of this. He does not do things the way we do things. And his ways are not our ways. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, them being the 12 disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." He's speaking of the Sea of Galilee. They were going to go from the western side to the eastern side. On the western side were the Hebrew people. On the eastern side, the Gentiles. He's going to the Gentile region of the Gerasenes, a revolutionary thing, something that tells us that this gospel will ultimately come to the ends of the earth, even to us. And there he meets that soul demoniac. And as he said he would do, he binds Satan, he binds the evil spirits, and releases that man. And as it seems, they end up going all that way just for him. Just for him. And leaving the crowd, they, that is the disciples, took him, Jesus, with them in the boat, just as he was. Just as he was, probably meaning exhausted, absolutely spent from the exorcism, defending himself against the Pharisees and all his preaching. And other boats were with him, Mark records. We don't know exactly what this means. Most likely that other boats were gathered there around his boat hearing him preach. Less likely that the other boats accompanied him all the way across the sea. At any rate, Mark focuses attention on this one boat in which there is Jesus and his disciples. And Mark tells us that a great windstorm arose. The Greek word there for windstorm is an important word. It's the same word we find in the Greek Old Testament in that part of Job that we just read, Job 38:1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." That is, God reveals himself through the whirlwind. And there you recall he famously says to Job, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." The point being, he didn't have understanding, and neither do we. We live not by wisdom or understanding, but by faith. God is not like us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His wisdom and understanding are so much greater than ours. We can only know him by how he reveals himself. And what he reveals about himself in his word is so often contrary to our reason, to our experience, to our understanding. Thus we live by faith and not by sight. We believe that what God says is true. This past week we had Vacation Bible School here at Faith. We had countless volunteers and leaders and teachers and helpers and people behind the scenes. And to all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I did not get a final count on the number, but this was the largest Vacation Bible School we've ever had here at this church. Well over 70 children here this past week. We had a great turnout from our congregation, but the vast majority of them from outside of our congregation. And they were gathered here to learn about how God baptizes them and washes their sins away, names them as his own, how Christ Jesus loved them so much that he gave his own life for them. And these children, they certainly don't excel us in terms of wisdom or understanding. But where they do excel us is in faith. They simply believe it. If Jesus said it's true, then I believe it. And I simply believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And if Jesus gave his life on the cross and says that that's for me and for the forgiveness of my sins, then I believe it. We live by faith and not by sight. So back to Mark and back to the whirlwind, the windstorm. We see that God reveals himself to us in the midst of the storm. He did this for Job. He also did this for Ezekiel. And that ought to tip us off to this text here to see how in the midst of the whirlwind and windstorm, God is going to reveal himself to his disciples and to us. That's the point. So a great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Archaeologists have found a boat near the Sea of Galilee dating back to the first century. It could easily hold 13 men. And its sides were about 4 feet high. Once you're in the water, obviously, it's lower. The storm came up and was whipped up, and the waves were so great that they were coming in over the side. The Sea of Galilee sits at something like 700 feet below sea level, and just a short 30 miles away is Mount Hermon that is above 9,000 feet. So when you get the mixture of the cold air and the warm air together, it can make for quite a storm. And the waves were coming up over the sides of those boats and filling the boat with water, as Mark tells us. I'm not an expert on boats, but I don't think that that's a good thing, is it? Jesus, to everyone's surprise and deep consternation, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Toward the back of the boat at the stern, there's probably decking over the back where the helmsman could stand and steer. And under that decking was a little place where Jesus was likely asleep on the cushion. God is not like us. This Jesus is not like us. Think on it. No anxiety, no worry, no guilt, and no fear. Well, the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are dying here?" At least they reached out to him. They reached out to him. They assumed that he could help. They assumed that he would help. And yet they're not exactly sure because they remain fearful. It's a faithless kind of faith that they have, that we have. Because in our best moments, when we're seeing things as they truly are, we know that we are in trouble. We are in over our heads. Whether it's an acute situation or the whole of our lives, we are helpless in wind and wave, and we are perishing, each and every one. In fact, God, in his grace, brings us to this point again and again, so that we might repent, so that we might despair of all that we by nature are, and instead receive him. So let us receive him, but not him as we think he ought to be, but him as he is, as he is. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." But actually, that's the Sunday school translation. He really says something more along the lines of, "Shut up, be muzzled, shut it." And the winds ceased, and there was a great calm. It's not exactly the nice Birkenstock wearing Jesus we're accustomed to, where he's just around saying, "Hey, peace and love, everyone. Shut it." And the wind and the waves stop. He said to them, "Oh, are you okay? Oh, you must have been so terrified. I'm so sorry I wasn't more sensitive to your needs. There I was just sleeping away while you were sudden." No, no. Jesus says no such thing. Again, he's not like us. He even defies our sense of phony grace, comfort, everything's going to be all right-isms. And he actually says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? What's your problem? Have you still no faith?" It's true. They don't. It's only a faithless kind of faith. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" It's one of the great delights of this text. And they were filled with great fear. You see, they were first terrified. Why are you afraid? They were terrified of the wind. They were terrified of the waves. And now that he says, "Shut it," and they stop, they're even more afraid. Because that guy sitting there next to them who is just asleep has the power of God. And when he speaks, it is so. As they're sitting there contemplating the indifference of this Jesus, the indifference of God, maybe the wrath of this Jesus and the wrath of God, that creates in them a certain fear. But they become even more afraid when God delivers them, when he shows them his power, when he shows them his mercy. And they were filled with great fear, and immediately Jesus said, no, don't be afraid. That's an impious thought. You see, it's okay, and I forgive you, and I love you. And again, he defies our expectations. He lets them have that great fear. It's healthy. And he lets them marvel and contemplate the question, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" He doesn't jump in and say, "Duh, it's me. It's me. Here I am, Jesus. It's all about me." He gives them the space to contemplate. "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, the power over the wind and the sea, over all the forces of nature, that only belongs to one. And the power over the devil and all the unclean spirits, that only belongs to one. And the power over death, over life itself, that only belongs to one, to the one who says, "No one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again." And that one is the one who went to the cross in order to bear all our sins on his shoulders and take them away forever. The one who came to destroy the power of death over us. The one who came to open the way of everlasting life, that we might abide in peace with him and God forever. No, he is not like us. He loves us even while we are still his enemies. He loves us even when the faith we have in him is a faithless kind of faith. No, he is not like us at all, and his ways are not like our ways. And that is very, very good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.